I'm expecting you.
My advice is for people to let go of perfection and to embrace progress, because people are very black and white generally. They're all or nothing. And we try and get people out of that all or nothing mindset to try and let them realize that, you know, always trying to do something is better, and you don't have to be perfect. I think a lot of people look at people who succeed and they feel like, oh, that person never has a bad weekend or a bad meal or whatever it is. And it's not like that. I mean, at the end of the day, to get results and move forward, you've just got to do the things that are going to benefit you most of the time. You don't have to get it right all of the time.
Welcome to the Transformation Edition of the Reinvent Health Podcast. In this series, I'll be interviewing individuals who've overcome personal health challenges and have taken the steps to turn their lives around. My personal journey was based on significant health challenges, which led me to start Reinvent, the health coaching and nutrition company, almost 20 years ago. I applaud anyone who has what it takes to turn their lives around, and I'm hoping that this series inspires everyone listening to do the same. In this episode, I chat with Elin Lohman of Sleek Geek, based in Cape Town. Elin, welcome to the Reinvent Health Podcast.
Hi, Nikki. So, as you know, my name's Elin, and I'm the founder of the Sleek Geek Health Revolution. We've been around for 12 years now, but, you know, pre that 12 years, I was the general manager of News24, which is the country's biggest website. I was the group head of digital at the Times Media Group, which is Sunday Times, all of those familiar brands. So I was an executive in the digital world, but I had terrible health habits. I was a workaholic. I was a box and a half a day chain smoker. I lived on takeaways. I was totally sedentary. I hardly slept. I was stressed out of my brackets, and I wasn't good at putting any attention on relationships or anything other than my career. And I realized at about age 35, somewhere around there, that if I carried on in this trajectory, things were not going to look very good for me, given that my family has a history of diabetes, cancer, strokes, everything, you name it, heart attacks. And I just realized, hang on a second, you're really on the wrong path. I decided to make my own changes. And through that, I realized that life is better when you're healthy. And that inspired me to leave my corporate career, leave my big salary, and create the Sleek Geek Health Revolution, because I wanted other people to get that message and to experience that life is better when you're healthy.
Yeah. So I'm assuming this wasn't an overnight process. You must have gone through quite a bit of time, yeah, trying different things, feeling not so good, trying to get on track. No one just wakes up one day and makes a change. What were the sort of the events that led up to you declining so that you could eventually go, I'm out of here, I'm turning this around?
Yeah, I mean, I agree and I disagree with your statement, because I've come across a lot of people who have that aha moment that changes everything. And it was kind of like that for me. There wasn't a buildup. I actually started from a point of vanity. I never woke up one morning and thought, I want to be healthy. What happened was, I was booked on a trip with my girlfriend at the time to go to Zanzibar for 10 days to a beach resort. And I was standing there in front of the mirror, trying on some board shorts. And, you know, when you're overweight and unhealthy, you don't tend to dwell on, you know, you don't admire yourself in the mirror. Yeah. So basically, you know, I looked at myself in the mirror, and it's not something that I normally did. I mean, I've got tattoos that I'd forgotten that I even have. And so from a point of vanity, I was like, wow, you know, I can't go and spend 10 days in a pair of board shorts walking around poolside like this. I'm ashamed.
Yeah.
And so I challenged a bunch of my friends to a weight loss competition.
Brilliant.
And yeah, I mean, I'd started many diets in my life before, and I'd lost a little bit of weight here and there. But for some reason, this time I just kept going. This time I felt like it was really benefiting me. And this time I decided I didn't want to stop. And that changed everything for me.
Yeah. Do you think it's got something to do with, you know, you said this happened when you're sort of in your mid-30s. And for me, it was also early 30s. when I stopped playing games and I started getting serious. Do you think it takes a little bit of time before, a person goes, okay, now the clock's ticking, we've really got to wake up and do something, or do you think it's just luck of the draw?
Oh, I think definitely. I think people do reevaluate their life, and even when it comes to their careers in their mid-30s, approaching towards 40, because I think when you're young, you feel invincible. When you're at varsity, you've got different kind of priorities. When I started my career, my priority was really just to rise up the ranks, and I wasn't focused on anything else. And then I think I just got to the point where I took a pause and I thought to myself, hang on a second, this is not the life that you dreamed of. And I will say, now that you mention it, there was actually another catalyst. Not too long before that, maybe like 6 months to a year before that, I had an incident where I had someone cheat on me. And it kind of got revealed that, even though I was a swell guy and I had lots to offer, I maybe wasn't, the most attractive. And I think that also just did stick with me a little bit and maybe planted a seed. And I felt, I think, I thought, I want to have it all. I want to be successful in my career and I want to be attractive and, all of those things. And that's where it kind of kicked off. But, subsequently, I've become all about health.
Look, it sounds like from the get-go, I mean, you were probably born a high-performing individual. You decided what you wanted to do with your life. You went out and did it. And I think, when people are high performing and they're results driven, when you make that choice to like sort your health out, you give it everything. And you don't stop until it's there, and you never give up, which is, I think, is a very plaudable trait. And I think we've all got it in us somewhere. We've just got to find the motivation. It's really,
Absolutely.
really important for an actualized life to find that in you. So moving on, I mean, you said you were heading up Media 24. That's a lot of pressure. That's a massive corporate job.
Well, News 24. I don't want people to say I falsely advertised. News 24, which is like the biggest website in the country. I was the general manager there. It was a tough job.
And what kind of mental, emotional state did you need to be in to go, you know what, I'm walking out, I'm giving my leave, I'm putting in my notice, I can't do this anymore. How did that play out for you? Because that's really scary for a lot of us.
Well, it's actually interesting because a lot of people in the industry, I mean, ITWeb even like wrote an article. At the time I was at Times Media Group called Avusa, and they were like, Avusa, exec, leaves the industry. And it was quite big news. And people thought I was crazy. Walking away from all of this, they thought I'd lost my marbles. But funny enough, at the time it was the easiest decision I could have ever made. Because it just felt right. When you have a calling, it just feels like it's right. And at the time, it was actually easy.
What you just said really brings up something for me, which really doing something that talks to you on a soul level, it's a very easy decision to make.
100%. Because also, I had already started a digital community on the side, and I realized I was giving more time and attention to that, and I was more interested in that than my actual job. So I went to my boss, the CEO, and I said, look, I'm doing you a disservice. I'm more interested in this. And I mean, I also felt that I could always go back to a career, and it just felt right at the time.
Okay. So, first, I'm interested in what kind of exercise nutrition regime you took on that did this for you, that really turned things around for you.
Okay. So put it this way, what I did then that I felt was, the way the life and the light. Like now, obviously, I feel differently about it, but I can tell you about my experience. So, what helped me make the move was I was just at a wedding with my girlfriend at the time, and there was a personal trainer kind of guy there, and he was like, "Oh, you got to try paleo," which, for those people that don't know paleo, it's like where you live like a caveman, and you cut out a lot of starches and sugar and dairy. And you focus mainly on like protein and vegetables. And I'd never heard of this. No one had ever suggested this to me. And I tried that, and it worked for me at the time. It made it easy because there were black and white rules. And I could follow it because I like protein and vegetables. So that really helped me lose the weight initially. I have subsequently realized that, balance is more important, and I don't really believe in cutting out food groups. At this point, my whole philosophy around nutrition has really changed. You must understand, when we started Sleek Geek, I was a digital executive who'd kind of fallen into the health space. Now, having worked for 12 years in the health and wellness space, we've obviously, learned a lot about, the ins and outs and, the nitty-gritty. And now we realize that, there's different strategies towards achieving your health goals, but, there's principles that, apply no matter whether you want to be a vegan or you want paleo or banting or whatever it is. The principles still apply. You still need to have a reasonable amount of protein. You still need to have a reasonable amount of whole foods, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So at this point, I prefer to live a balanced lifestyle, which is actually harder to do. It's harder to live in the gray. It's easier to have black and white rules, which is what people are attracted to. But, for some people, it's very hard to be consistent with that and keep it up for the long term. But I did start my journey with paleo. And then on an exercise side, I started my journey with CrossFit. Now, CrossFit was good for me because it was community-based and it was competitive and it was fun and it was interesting. And because with CrossFit, you book your classes and they expect you to be there and show up, that also helped me to build, an exercise routine. But like I said, that's how I started. Subsequently, I did have an injury. I had to have a rotator cuff surgery, and my CrossFit days are long behind me. Now I like to just do resistance training at the gym by myself. I go 5 a.m. every morning. But I started off with CrossFit, and it was fun, and I enjoyed it at the time. But like right now, it's too injury prone for me, and I obviously wouldn't go back and do that.
Yeah, so you started off with CrossFit and a strict paleo diet. And what happened physically? How much body fat did you lose? How much muscle? What happened that kept you going? Because very often that's the exciting thing when you're starting to put on muscle and you lose 5 kilos in a
So
month.
basically, I lost 9 kilograms like initially before I went to that Zanzibar trip. So in those 7 weeks, I lost 9 kilograms.
That's
And
amazing.
what was different this time? What was different this time? Well, look, also, what I've learned through the years is if someone's been living extremely unhealthy for a long time, it's much easier to lose weight initially than someone who's been like dieting for years. So I obviously had that benefit. It's also easy for someone who starts training for as a beginner to, have better body composition gains. So all of that was in my favor. But what was different this time was I lost the 9 kilograms, and then we went to Zanzibar, and I was like, you know what? What about if I just stick to, the paleo way, which is protein and veg. There's lots of fish here. I like that. I think I can do it. And there was also a gym on the resort. And I said, I'm going to commit to just going to that gym once a day. And I'm going to commit to trying to drink water during the day. And at night, I can have as many cocktails and drinks as I like. I'm not just going to sit and so sip calorie laden drinks all day at the pool deck. So I just put those kind of rules in place, and so I managed to like not do too much damage on that trip. And then I came back and I was like, okay, I'm starting to see the benefits of this. Like, I mean, it's exciting. It's nice to feel attractive. It's nice to be able to wear smaller size clothes. It's nice to get compliments. And that kind of drove me to carry on.
And what did that do for your energy and your health status?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like $1 million, obviously. And also because I'd created this Facebook group, the Sleek Geek Health Revolution, which was growing constantly and organically, and I was the leader in this community, that kind of kept me accountable and it kept me honest. It like really drove me because I was in the spotlight. I mean, I don't worry about these kind of things anymore because I'm much more about my own journey and balance. But in those early days, I would be nervous if someone saw me at the cinema with popcorn in my hands, which, when I think about it now, when I look back on that, that's like a very imbalanced way to look at life. But at that time in my journey, I felt this massive responsibility to like lead by example. What I felt then in that stage of life was the right example. I've obviously changed my philosophies dramatically over the last 12 years.
Yeah, I can, yeah, I'm, as you're talking, I can see so many parallels. I mean, I'm in exactly the same industry as you, and I used to, I could never walk around with a chocolate bar in my Woolworths trolley. Good heaven forbid somebody should see it. But nowadays, it's like, this is balance. You know, you can, of course, have a chocolate if you feel like it once in a while. It doesn't bother me anymore. But I totally get that, because you become your brand and you do feel a sense of responsibility. And it is interesting to see the trajectory it takes, how we all settle down. You know, I think if this is a long-term lifestyle, you settle down into something more reasonable.
And that's been hard for me, because literally the last 5 years since COVID has been, I've struggled, because, you know, I've been in therapy. I've been diagnosed for like binge eating disorder. And, you know, I've always been someone that has gravitated towards food as like my kind of self-medication of choice. You know, I've never been into hard drugs. I've never been into alcohol, but food has always been my crutch. And, you know, unlearning that and building a healthy relationship with food over the years has been, you know, a challenge for me, which sometimes I win and sometimes I don't. And the last 5 years since COVID, you know, have been on a personal level quite challenging. So it's really triggered me a lot. And, you know, that in itself has been a journey. Like, I'll admit right now, like, I'm not in my best shape. You know, pre-COVID, I was in, you know, fighting fit shape. Now I'm not in the best shape, but I still try every day to be healthy. I still try every day to make the best decisions that I can make. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit more gentle with myself. But yeah, I mean, I do have aspirations to get back to that physique most definitely.
So let's just go back to the role of accountability and community, which in my opinion is probably the most important pillar when you are trying to get your health habits in check. You know, whether it's a coach that you're checking in with or a community that you've built, this is not something any of us can do alone.
Sure.
And I think for many people dieting, they come up against horrendous challenges. They come up against family members who are trying to sabotage them, willingly or unwillingly, it doesn't matter. Because, I mean, for example, as Tim Ferriss famously says, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And if those five people are drinking in the pub every night, it's going to be really hard for you to, you know, to be better. So let's chat. Let's go. I want to go a little bit deeper into the importance of community. And for people who are listening, if they find that, you know, they're not in a supportive environment, how do you start? You join the Sleek Geek community, for example. There's so many ways. So let's unpack how people can get into a more supportive situation where their health aspirations are supported.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's been, you know, part of the success of Sleek Geek. When I created the community, it's because I wanted people not to have to do it alone or be alone. And as you say, unfortunately, we live in a society where the norm is not to be healthy. We live in a society where if you try and focus on your health, you're probably labeled as obsessive or a health freak. And, you know, often people who try and be on a journey, as you say, they're not necessarily supported at home or in the workplace. And, you know, so it's very important that you find a group of people who amplify the type of behaviors that you would like to build. So for example, you know, if you would like to start running, you know, joining a running club is like a great thing to do. If you'd like to start hiking more, joining a hiking club is a great thing to do. And, you know, that's exactly why Sleek Geek has, you know, succeeded over these years, is because people can have shared experiences and they can feel more normal. You know, when you're the guy in the office with your chicken salad or your smelly tuna salad and everyone's eating KFC, you know, it's nice to have a group of people that you can identify with and talk to about, who understand. And that's with any niche. You know, if you are an Iron Man type person, you want to geek out on the latest toys for your bicycle and those kind of things. You know, you want to be part of a group of people who shares like a similar interest. So I absolutely recommend, if someone wants to embark on a health journey, find yourself a community of people. And there are many out there these days to choose from.
Yeah, find your tribe. It's so critically important. So, you know, having worked with maybe thousands of people now, and you've seen all sorts of kinds of issues and levels of buy-in, and you really know how difficult this can be for so many people. What is maybe not the best, I was going to say, what is the best advice you can give someone who's really struggling? But generally speaking, what are your top pointers for someone who's just trying their heart out but doesn't seem to get there? How would you deal with that?
Okay, so the sleek geek philosophy is that health is a habit. So, if anyone out there has read James Clear's Atomic Habits, which is a book that's made habits and habit building more accessible to people, I'd highly recommend it. But, my advice is for people to let go of perfection and to embrace progress, because people are very black and white generally. They're all or nothing. And we try and get people out of that all or nothing mindset to try and let them realize that, always trying to do something is better, and you don't have to be perfect. I think a lot of people look at people who succeed and they feel like, oh, that person never has a bad weekend or a bad meal or whatever it is. And it's not like that. I mean, at the end of the day, to get results and move forward, you've just got to do the things that are going to benefit you most of the time. You don't have to get it right all of the time. So what I would say is start small. And if something is not doable for you to do consistently, then scale it down to even less. Cool. People are a bit overambitious. People are A-type, and essentially start really small. If you want to start getting into a gym routine, just start by going to the gym, even if it's just to have a cup of coffee at the Kauai or the Nou. Get in the habit of being in the environment. Play around on the machines that are safe and easy to use before you start thinking about having the perfect plan. And ultimately, it's just about showing up consistently. I think a lot of people tend to focus on a lot of the minor details that don't make so much of an impact, in the sense that, there's that expression, mowing the lawn while your house is on fire. So people get so bogged down into, how many reps should I do, or how many grams of this should I eat, when they're not even just basically having enough vegetables, or they're basically not even going to the gym. You've just really got to get those big blocks in place, and then you can start to focus on the minor details that a lot of people tend to obsess about.
Right.
So that's one bit of advice that I would give. And the other thing is just, what I would say is, if you could change your paradigm around health, because if you thought about health more as a skill and a practice, so for example, if anyone was going to learn something new, if you wanted to learn how to play a musical instrument, or you wanted to learn how to write like a computer programming language, you'd expect that there would be a learning curve. You'd expect that at first you wouldn't be very good at it. Yet people don't apply this to going on a health journey. They expect that they can live extremely unhealthily for like a decade, and then on Monday start this rigorous diet training plan, and then wonder why on Thursday they can't do it. And, at the end of the day, if you just think about health more as a practice and a skill that's going to take time, and you're not going to, succeed all the time at it, and you're going to have to build on that, that's a much more realistic approach to building a health journey.
Yes, no, I completely agree. And I think something else that, just you sparking ideas in my head as well, is I work with a lot of women. And if they don't lose, say, a kilo or 2 kilos a week, it's nothing's working, we're going to throw in the towel. And it's not about what you do in the short term. It's the big picture. So you're going to look back 6 months from now, and actually you will have lost that 10 kilos of fat. It might not have been a kilo every week, but it will all come off, because the human body doesn't work like a calculator. It's a biological organ.
No, it's not a straight line.
And there's good days, there's bad days, there's hormones, there's weddings and birthdays. And
everyone's different, their profile.
Exactly. And some days you're going to eat the steak, and other days you're going to crave the ice cream. But as long as you're just putting one foot in front of the other, the big picture will get you, you'll get there. But you've got to just keep taking those steps. And that's really key.
Absolutely. And I find what's helpful with that is, encouraging the concept of rather focus on the behaviors than the outcomes.
Yeah.
So, rather the focus on the actions that you need to take. Did I go actually show up to the gym, the 3 times this week that I said I would? Did I make sure that I added a protein to every meal? Like, focus on tracking and rewarding, getting into the patterns of behavior, because the results, as you say, will ultimately come. And I think another thing that I've realized is people really have this overemphasis on it all being about discipline and willpower. Now, all of us, if you put a chocolate cake in my fridge and I had to look at it every time I open up the fridge, ultimately I'm going to cave like anybody
Of
else.
course.
But the whole idea is not to have that thing in your fridge at eye level and,
Discipline.
design your environment to rather, set you up for success than make it harder for you. So I think people definitely do overemphasize. I mean, if I had a penny for every time someone said to me, "Oh, I don't have enough discipline or willpower, this is not for me," that's a limiting belief that is simply not true. It's just that, fit and healthy people, they don't have a special plan. They just manage to build some consistency. And the key with consistency is you don't have to be perfect. And that's really, oh, the other thing that I would also, mention here is if you look at something in a very short-term window, like a diet, and this, oh, I've got to fit into this dress, or I've got to get ready for this event. If you look at your health in a short-term window, that's always going to be difficult. You've got to consider that, you're in this for life. So the odd meal that you might have, like, not gone according to plan, it's just one meal in those thousands of meals that you're going to have for the next 15, 20 years. And all you want to do is you want to get things mostly right.
Mostly right.
And you've got to have that kind of a perspective on it. And you can always get back on track. I think the biggest reason why I failed in the past before things stuck was as soon as people start not getting results, they basically throw in the towel. And that's that all or nothing kind of approach. They're either 150% in or they're not in at all. And I think, when you can get away from that mindset and you can realize that you're always just like one bite or one workout away from being back on track, that's quite liberating to know.
It is. And I love that because you can start new every day. Don't have to wait for Monday. Today is a new day, and what you do today counts. It
100%.
really matters.
And we all go through phases where, at certain times in our life, we can prioritize things more or less. So, sometimes we go through very busy, busy times at work. Sometimes, we have a lot on, but the whole idea is to rather have like a dial approach to health rather than an on or off switch. So essentially, like, sometimes you've got to dial it down a bit. Like, maybe you can only afford to do 3 short workouts a week right now because you're in a busy phase. Whereas maybe in another time in the year, you can afford to do more. And, it's just like you always want to be doing something. You can dial it up, you can dial it down, but you don't want to just be like only on or off.
So another comment that a lot of people make is they're confused because there's so much information out there and a lot of it is nonsense. And the success comes down to going back to the basics, not following some fad, because and there are so many fads and opinions, and it's all unsolicited, unverified nonsense out there. So how do you handle that when, your clients?
First of all, I really have to empathize with consumers out there because they are bombarded with so many conflicting viewpoints, and I can see that it's really easy to become like, really confused and almost like frozen, not knowing what to do. And so what I would say, first of all, is there are many roads to Rome. There are many strategies that can work. The key is generally consistency. So, if you can do most of the diet strategies that are out there fairly consistently, then you will probably achieve results. What I always say to my clients is this something that you can picture yourself doing for life? Like, for example, if you love carbs, why would you try and attempt a lifestyle which cuts out all the carbs? Or if you're somebody who can't go 2 hours without food, why would you try intermittent fasting? Because Andrew Huberman said that, like, that's the best thing to do. So the thing is, you've got to see what fits your personality. I mean, I've got clients who count calories. I've got clients who don't. I've got clients who are vegans. Ultimately, I could never be a vegan. If you told me it was going to add 5 years to my life, I'd say, you know what, I'd rather have the
I
meat.
agree.
You've got to go according to your personality. And that to me is the key thing. Can you imagine doing this in the long term? Is the first thing you should ask yourself. Because what people also don't realize, Nikki, and I mean you'll obviously understand this because you understand nutrition, is that people, when you see things like intermittent fasting or banting or keto or whatever it is, whatever's the flavor of the day, people should understand that those are strategies, whereas there are some overarching principles that apply, and they all have to, respond to the same principles. Those principles are that you should eat as much minimally processed whole food as you can. We all need to eat more vegetables. We all need to have a reasonable amount of protein in our diet. Now, whether you are carnivore or vegan, like you still need to have a reasonable amount of protein in your diet. So it's the principles that really matter. And a lot of consumers that obviously understand don't get those nuances. But I mean, I think what people should start doing is instead of squabbling about the differences between these diets, they should look more at like what are the commonalities. No one's going to argue that you shouldn't like eat less processed sugar, or no one's going to argue that you shouldn't eat more vegetables, or maybe some of those carnivore people won't. But unfortunately, Nikki, we are living in a world where science has become commoditized because everyone's got their science. There's so many charlatans on TikTok and on Instagram, and they're all quoting science, and there's science and there's science, as you know. And that's why, for a consumer, I do understand that it's very difficult because, I always am nervous of people who are selling products based on their philosophies and who have, agendas around that. What I would say for me, a major red flag is when someone says, this is the way, the light, and the life. Basically, this is the thing that's going to change everything. Like, that's when I kind of like, to me, that's a red flag. Because I've got a pretty agnostic approach to nutrition and exercise.
And I think because you've been in it for so long, and I can completely share your sentiment, is when you've been in it for this long, there's no one answer. It changes as you age. It changes according to different people. And also, to your point, when I work with people and they're on a nutrition plan, and then at some point they pop up and say, "So this is working really well. When do I get the maintenance plan?" It's like there is no maintenance plan. This is it. This is principles. It's not a diet. I don't do diets. These are principles for life, and they apply all the time. And then you see the penny drop.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. And, I think, going back to that dialing it up and dialing it down, you can, of course, be more aggressive at certain stages. If you're in a space where you've got the time, the energy, you can be slightly more aggressive with, how compliant you want to be. There are going to be phases, and there's other phases where you are just more in a more balanced kind of
Relax.
approach. But the principles, exactly, where you're slightly more relaxed, but the principles don't change. But I mean, I think it's hard for people. And I mean, people have got busy lives, and to try and now also think about their health, they need it to be doable, and easy, I would say.
Yeah, it does need to be easy, and it can be, but it's back to what you said. It's building those habits and behaviors. And it's a daily practice. 100%. What is a typical day in your life look like?
Okay, so I like to do things early. Now, not everyone's an early bird. And, I definitely feel like there is no one size fits all. I mean, I know when Robin Sharma wrote the 5 a.m. Club, everyone who doesn't get up at 5 a.m. thought that, they're bad people or they're doing something wrong. But we're all different. So, my business partner, he likes to get up and later than me and start his day later, and he likes to go train in the afternoon. There is no one size fits all. But me, I love to get things done early. So I wake up at 4:30 a.m. and at 5 a.m. I go to gym on weekdays and I train for an hour. I used to train alone, but I've now got a gym partner and I'm enjoying training with him. So we train for an hour, and Then I come home and I fetch my wife and we go for a 5 kilometer walk together just to like connect and, get some steps in. I'm very lucky. I live here on the promenade in Cape Town, so
What a
it's
pleasure.
easy for me. Exactly. I do realize that not everyone has that luxury. So we walk to the pool and back. And so then by about 7:30, I've done my training, I've done my steps, and I start my work day. And yeah, I mean, I don't have set rules around nutrition in the sense that I like to eat when I'm hungry. So some days I might have breakfast, some days I might have my first meal at 11 o'clock. I don't put too much pressure on it. But I do obviously, if I'm training hard, I do like to keep a bit of a track to make sure that I'm getting enough protein in, just, in terms of like making sure, like with muscle repair, et cetera, that I've got the right nutrients. But, I don't follow too much of a rigid regime. But having said that, there are times where if I decide that I really want to make some progress, I might even start counting calories and weighing and measuring food. Now, I don't believe that that's a sustainable, fun way to live, but I find that like it's a useful tool for me when I really want to like know what's going on. And I think that's the other thing, and I think that like it's about having a toolbox. Like ultimately, you have tools and sometimes you use certain tools and sometimes you don't. And sometimes I'm doing more steps and sometimes I'm not. I mean, I work from home. I'm ironically very computer based, and unless I actually go for an intentional walk, my steps are probably like embarrassing. So I've had to implement that habit of going for a walk because during the work day, I live in a one bedroom apartment, and if I didn't go for that 5 kilometer walk in the morning with my wife, I'd probably end up with like 3,500 steps, which, for general prescription of health is, way below what it should be.
Absolutely.
So that's basically my routine. I try and get at least 6.5 hours of sleep. I've never really been someone who needs a massive amount of sleep, but that's kind of like my minimum requirement. Even better if I'm getting seven, but I don't typically get more than 7 hours. I do struggle sometimes to get myself to bed, but I found knowing that I wake up at 4:30 a.m., I kind of am forced to adult because I know that like it's going to be a train smash of the next day if I don't actually get myself to bed on time. And so what I've done there is on my iPhone, and I'm sure most phones have that capability, I've got like a bedtime alarm as well, which I find kind of very useful. It goes off at like 9:15 and tells me, listen,
Time to
start
go.
thinking about getting ready for bed. And don't watch the next episode of whatever series I'm into at the time. So basically that is like the kind of structure that I have to my life at the moment. On the weekends, I don't train on the weekends in terms of going to the gym, but I do like to get as many steps as I can, go on a little adventures with my wife and we've got a little corgi, and
So
go and try and get outdoors. But yeah, that's generally my routine.
okay. And what are your fitness goals for the next few months? What are you like? What's getting under your skin where you go, like, you know what? I want to lose another 5% body fat and put on 3 kilos of muscle. What's gnawing at you at the moment?
Like I mean, like I kind of maybe suggested earlier, is I'm not right now in fighting fit shape that I was in the past. And I've had to like be kind to myself. It's because I've had a lot of mental challenges, which I am, I'm in therapy, I'm on meds, I'm meditating, I'm doing all the things that I can do. But we live in a modern world which has lots of challenges, and that's obviously put a lot of pressure on me on in terms of my nutritional compliance. So that does bug me. Like I have half a wardrobe that I really want to get back into quite comfortably. I do want to feel that confidence again. And as you said, we are brands. We work in the fitness industry, and like it or not, people, when they meet you, they scrutinize you. It's just part of being in that industry.
It is. It's true.
At the end of the day, I never set out to become a expert or a professional in the health industry. I just set out to create a space to help people. But unfortunately or fortunately, it's ended up this way that I've found myself in this position, which is good because it keeps me on the track, even though I've got enough intrinsic motivation to stay on the track. But people do scrutinize you, and we're working a lot in workplace wellness at the moment, and I go and I do workshops and talks, and I'd prefer to show up there maybe a little bit leaner than I am right now. So that's my immediate goal, is to just really feel more comfortable in my skin again.
Yeah, I think that's a really good goal, and it's not a massively enthusiastic goal. It's a realistic goal, and it makes it inspires confidence in yourself. And when you can stand there feeling good about yourself, it comes across, and it's contagious. And that's what sells people. They go, "You can do this. I can do it too," which is so magic.
Absolutely. My other goal is to manage my stress better. Stress is a killer. And I never thought, I thought I was living a healthy lifestyle and doing everything right. But not so long ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure, and I'm on meds, and I want to actually, and that was all stress induced. And irony, the irony of ironies is that having my own business has been more stressful than my corporate life.
Oh my goodness.
As an entrepreneur who has your own business, you can probably identify with that. And so it's an irony that having a health business, being an entrepreneur, has almost like been unhealthy for me. But I'm working with that, the best that I can to make sure that I manage my stress correctly. So what I would also like to do as part of my goals is I don't necessarily want to be on blood pressure meds for life, and I'm working at trying to make sure I do all the right things so that I can normalize that situation without the meds.
Yeah, and that's really reasonable long-term goal. I think that's exactly what we should be aiming for. So tell us about the Sleek Geek Challenge and how anyone listening can find you online and join the challenge and change their lives for the best.
Okay, well, I think because the challenge is well known, it's almost become like synonymous with Sleek Geek. But just to emphasize that the challenge is just one tiny aspect of Sleek Geek, and one can join our community for absolutely free and benefit massively. Just look for Sleek Geek Health Revolution on Facebook. But the challenge itself, that's a paid product, and we run that. It's an 8-week challenge. We do that 3 times a year. It's the New Year, winter, and summer. We're busy recruiting at the moment for the winter challenge. What we do is people pay an entry fee. The VIP rate's like 399 rand at the moment. And we have 200,000 rands worth of prizes that people compete for over the 8 weeks. We've got a team system that people can join. They can join a team of people, or they can do it solo. And yeah, there's 200,000 rands worth of prizes up for grabs, 50,000 rand worth of cash prizes. And there's different categories. So you've got men's and ladies percentage weight loss. Then you've got men's and ladies transformation, which is more like toning. Then we've got a couples challenge and a buddy challenge and a consistency challenge. And there's so many things going on in there. And then we give people the tools that they need to succeed. It's an interesting one because we don't believe just in short-term interventions. We believe in long-term sustainable change. So through the challenge, we try to teach people what they need to know to build a healthy lifestyle. But there is a place for short-term interventions. And what we found is, you mentioned it earlier, people turn around and they think, what happened? So we find a lot of people who are in their mid-30s or whatever it is, their career, they had kids, life got in the way. They turn around and they just, the dads have got the dad bods, and they want to like kind of regain. So having a short-term intervention can be like just a little bit of a spark to get people going and excited about their health journey again.
Yeah, completely. I think it's a great, look, that's how I changed my life. I entered Body for Life.
Oh yeah, wow. I remember that was also like what inspired me, Body for Life. Wow.
Body for Life changed, literally changed my life. And totally the trajectory of my life was changed from that point forward. But it is sustainable, but it is, like you say, it's these short sparks that get you on the track, and then you can start developing a lifestyle from there. It's critically important too. And I think, just the having the challenge, putting yourself out there and saying, I'm committing to something, I'm going to do this. We can't just go day to day in the same tone and one foot after that. We as human beings, I think we thrive on challenges. We thrive on the
Absolutely.
excitement of having to get up and do something and measure. And that
100%.
stimulates dopamine production in the brain, which is in itself addictive, but in a good way. I think it's such a healthy addiction to have.
Yeah, it definitely helps. But then obviously outside of the challenges, there's the grind, which you've got to. Building a healthy lifestyle, it's boring. I mean, it's not really that exciting. I mean, you just got to do the basics regularly and
Real work.
exactly like just keep, like basically prioritizing your health because, it's absolutely worth it. And I think that's
Yes.
definitely like a key thing also for people trying to build like a health journey, is to have a why and to have
Absolutely.
a reason. And
I
also
have a
to make it
why.
fun, like I think what I've learned is that people have to find the kind of fitness activities that they enjoy or the nutritional approaches that they enjoy because it's not meant to be a punishment. Getting healthy and staying healthy is not meant to be a chore. Like we actually, it's a blessing that we can be active and move and use our bodies. And, it's amazing when people discover that. Or it's a blessing to feel really
Yes.
good and vital because, I mean, eating crap makes you feel crap. I mean, it's
So
just the truth. We all know that. When I eat badly, I don't feel good. I don't feel like I feel when I eat well.
yeah, and so many people don't know what it feels like to feel well because they're so used to eating junk. And
100%.
I'm sure you process as well, that switch that goes on, people go, now I know what it feels like to feel well. Now I know what it feels like to have energy.
Absolutely.
I didn't know what this felt like before. And
Absolutely.
then it's ka-ching, you just
Yeah.
know you hit you do make a
I
difference, and
mean,
it's so exciting.
before my journey, I lived on Rennie's and Gaviscon, and like I thought it was normal to always feel stuffed after going, eating out and having heartburn all the time. I
Terrible.
just thought that's just the way it is. And as you say, that's why,
Yeah. That's...
you can't just tell people, you've got to help them experience it for themselves.
So, Ilan, you are an absolute inspiration and you're making a massive difference in the lives of so many people, probably touching the lives of people you never will even meet, which
Thank
is
you.
a gift and a privilege. So
Thank you.
I wanted to say thank you for your contributing to this big picture that we and this big picture called the healthcare industry, but doing it in a meaningful way that is really forward into society. So I really think it should be acknowledged.
Thank you, Nikki, and it's very generous of you and likewise. Keep
Thank
helping
you.
people. We're all in this together, and it's definitely worth it. We want to age well. You asked me what my goal is. My goal is I don't want to be a decrepit 60. My whole family, my mom passed at 61, my dad passed at 65. Like I've never had like any healthy role models. Like I want to be 60 and fit and healthy and active and hiking. And I want to be the, like 70. I want to age with grace because when you're healthy, you can do the things that you love. You can be better at your business. You can be better as a partner. You can be a better parent. Like you literally are better at everything when you have a foundation of health. So it's absolutely
Yes.
worth it.
Well, all the strength to you, and I hope that your
Thank you.
upcoming and future challenges just flourish and people embrace this lifestyle. So anyone listening who's interested,
Yeah, sleekgeek.co.za. But I'd say the best way to find us is to join our Facebook group. You just search for Sleek Geek Health Revolution on Facebook. Join the group. It's all free. We've got a wonderful community. And also we do a lot of work in workplace wellness as well. So anyone who's listening who's interested in that space can also find me. Thank you.